Hey, welcome back to the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Today, I'm with Greg Martin. His journey is incredible. From wanting to be an accountant to becoming an M&A advisor and an entrepreneur, Greg's story is full of lessons. He shares what he's learned from business failures, how relationships have become his true measure of success, and the challenge of staying present as a parent. Greg's perspective on finding happiness and fulfillment in life is something I think you'll really connect with. And hey, if you're enjoying the show, don't forget to like and subscribe it and share it with someone else who needs to hear this. Welcome, everybody, to an episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Today, I have Greg Martin on the show. Greg, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Greg, can we start with a minute or two of your background, of who you are?
Yeah, quick background. I'm Toronto area, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, born, raised, work here today. I've done a few things. I'm an M&A advisor, work at an investment bank, mostly focused on helping and entrepreneurs sell their businesses, sometimes finding capital and with a lot of strategic advice and those sort of things. But that's kind of what I do. I spent, though, about 4 to 5 years as an entrepreneur in the food industry. We had a restaurant and catering business that in the end didn't make a lot of money, but it was a great learning experience for me. And so I've got two kids and just excited to be here. Happy to dive in, but that's the quick of it.
Okay, that's awesome. M&A, that to me, as I'm looking and getting into that a little bit, when I talked with M&A people, I'm like, you guys are on a different level. You guys know things that nobody else knows. Because we just went through that. I just went through it last month. I had an M&A attorney helping me personally. And then you have the attorneys on the dirty dough side. And then you have the attorneys on the crave-worthy side. And man, a lot. Why did you choose that? Why did you choose M&A?
A little bit chose me. I started in university wanting to be an accountant because I was like number inclined sort of. But I didn't really want to be that. And I discovered sort of finance. I got this job in investment banking. I had a co-op. So it was a 4-month job when I was, 20 or something. And I got thrusted into this and I learned a bunch, but I also didn't. I just realized what you said. These people are really high energy. They're really smart. And like, I need more. And so when I graduated, I actually looked for a job in investment banking, predominantly because I thought I didn't know anything. And I just thought that, hey, I'm willing to work all the time if I need to. And that's what I did. But just for the sake of learning and absorbing from what I thought were smart people. So yeah, it just sort of happened. And then, I sort of thought when I started my career that I would be in it for 2 or 3 years because it was just so intense. When I started, I was working 80, 100 hour weeks, sometimes more, just in the office all the time. And I just knew that that wasn't sustainable. And, but I'm sort of 15 years in now.
Yeah. It's such a, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. It's such a big value add. It's like my career was, I started with pest control door to door and then satellite. So pest control, you make like $200-$300, satellite, like $400-$600. And then I did Vivint, which is like $800 to $1,000, just like home security systems. And then I moved up to solar, which is like $8,000 to $10,000. And the difference between closing a solar deal isn't that much different than closing a pest control deal. It's not 20 times as hard or 50 right. times as hard, but the commissions are 50 times better. And to me, that relates to mergers and acquisitions because there's such a big value to be had. You're overseeing a multi-million dollar transaction or 10 million or 20 million, whatever. You just save them a little bit on the strategy and they could pay you a lot of money and still come out super, super happy on top. It's just a good position. If done correctly, it's a win-win-win for everybody. So that's super cool. You talked about hospitality, food a little bit as well. And this is a little bit more of a broad question, but what do you feel like has been the most satisfying part of your career?
Satisfying career? I mean, I think that learning stuff, like where I actually felt like I was valuable in a situation. So when you're young, you feel a little bit of it. But it's more so when you come in and you're actually like, so a client will ask a question and they will say, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm the best person to answer that. Like I'm doing this, and you answer and you're good and you're proud. And there's not necessarily one. It's kind of like, working with clients and being able to do that is probably what, what is satisfying. At the same time, you get reamed out just as easily, right? Like you can think you know everything and say it the wrong way. So I think it's kind of that challenge though, of it not always being easy. You don't always know that what the right answer is, or you don't always know. Sometimes there's no answer and you need to come up with one, but it's putting yourself in those situations and then coming up with that is the most satisfying, I would say, in terms of
just the instance. I'm with you on that. I love sales because I'm like, What's your problem? Was I able to identify it and then resolve that
Right.
through my product,
And
right?
it's iterative
Which is
because you
awesome.
do it, you can do it poorly, and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna learn from that now. So
Yes. And I also like the your response didn't focus on an event or a time period, which is great. It's ongoing, saying showing that you're still getting that satisfaction, that you haven't lost that, which I think is very important to focus on anything that's ongoing, I guess. Like
sure.
the satisfaction wasn't something that happened to me, but it's something that's happening to me daily or weekly, whatever that is. So anyways, thank you for that. If we fast forward a handful of years or tomorrow, whenever you want to fast forward, how are you defining success? What metrics are you using, if any?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of fine. I don't typically do it with financial or thinking about I don't, in numbers typically. Other than I would say it's kind of relationships. I've actually realized that throughout my career probably more than anything, and noticed it in particular when I left to be an entrepreneur, because I spent 10 plus years before I went to do that and met a lot of really cool people and my just bonded with them over time, got to know them better. And then I kind of left them and went to a totally different industry and had to meet new people. And I missed them. I missed sort of the people that I had. I missed some of the just, I think that the connections that we made, we kind of grew up in the same place. We have so many similarities. And so, coming back to that is what, again, I realized through that. So, going forward, I think that's where it actually lies is in trying to develop and thinking about those relationships. Cause that's, if I fast forward, it's like, well, I hope I get to spend more time with these people and I hope that I can, have a chance to make an impact here and there. So I think it's the people that I'm around, that I'm around. And that's actually what I realized. At one point was probably striving, yes, for that financial gain, proof, I guess, that I was successful or that something else. But I think now it's honestly more people, which is a little bit harder as well, because it's not as tangible, right? It's this oh yeah, you have friends. Like, what does that mean?
You're
It's
not
not
measuring on the spreadsheet, right?
it's not
Like I
LinkedIn
have.
connections. It's not whatever. It's actually like, do I enjoy hanging out with these people, and am I excited to do it? And it's a very, anyways, it's hard, but also I think necessary.
You're hitting this on the head. So there's, have you ever heard of, there's a Harvard study. It's been going on for 85 years now, several hundred people. It's called the Grant Study. Longest study, I believe. So yeah, I'm reading here. It started in 1938. So 85 years later, they're determining a lot of those people are dead now, right? Because they started in their 20s. It's 85 years. Most of them have passed away. The single biggest factor of both health, so not just living longer, that's the second part, living longest, but living healthily, your health span was the amount of intimate relationships. Like what? Wait, what does it have to do with how long I live and how
Right.
happy I am and how healthy I am? But you're hitting it right on the head. It's super, super cool study. Why not the financials? Was there a time? I mean, obviously I agree with you, that shouldn't be the financials, but was there a time earlier on your career when it was financial based? And then there was a time that you're like, I'm going to transition my focus away from that.
I think it's always financial based. You start, you get your first, you get a few jobs, job offers, and like, here's your number. And you're like, oh, that's amazing. That's good. And then it goes up over time, and you feel like you're getting better in the world. And, someone may give you a call and say, hey, do you want to work here? I'm going to give you a little bit of a higher number. And that's just sort of how your life just sort of starts that way. And you buy things and you do things, and it just gives you flexibility when you have the number. I really. I was never always, though, looking for any particular number per se. I think it's just, you want to be successful and feel like you are rich, like you have money. I think that's a very simple way to do it. I certainly, though, learned through entrepreneurship in going through that it wasn't everything, right? That there were some other things that were going on. Is it just the money? What was interesting, though, is like I kind of got into the restaurant and catering world, and like it's not one that you go into to make money per se. Like it's not, hey, everyone's making, there's so many bad stories about that. So it also wasn't really that, but I think in me going through that experience, which was really a failure for the business in the end failed for a bunch of reasons, it was me going through that after and saying, like, well, what was the reason? Why? What was I after? What was I trying to do? What was I doing? And a lot of it was, yeah, I wanted to create a successful business. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to create this something to then, but the only way to do that was to show it had value. It was like, I need to create a big business that has a big value so that it can show that. And I, you know, you dig in further and you're like, well, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's like, if you go sell a bunch of franchises, that means you're important, right? No,
it doesn't. It is never enough. You can just keep going.
Yeah, because it's always just more and more. Can we talk about either the failure of that business or another hard time in your life that you had to go through on the mental, emotional side? Like, was it tough closing up shop and realizing that? Or do you want to bring us to another moment in time?
Yeah, no, certainly from a professional and just all encompassing, it was certainly that, I'd say. So the business, when we got involved with it, it's a restaurant and catering business. And the timing of it was such that it was, I guess, 2018 when I got sort of really involved into 2019. And things were, you know, a lot of things to figure out. But our strategy was effectively, we were in Toronto, downtown core, selling to a lot of offices and office catering and doing a lot of office lunches. And so when the pandemic hit, and it was particularly hard in Toronto, we had a ton of restrictions in Ontario, frankly. I think there were some of the harshest in the world. It just killed the business so significantly. And we spent a bunch of time pivoting, right, to different things. We were driving, you know, at least you could drive anywhere very easily because everyone was just at home. So we're driving meals and food around the whole city and everything. But it was so tough to when the world was changing to try to do that. And then all of a sudden money became a big challenge where, you know, we were in an area and paying rent and paying for people and everything and just couldn't really keep up with it. And then, you know, I had these decisions to make. Do I somehow go try to find more money somewhere with a plan that I don't even know what it is? Or do we close up shop? And so, you know, all of a sudden I was in the situation where I would go to sleep at night and then around 2-3 a.m. I'd wake up and I was up, like there was no, and I was just thinking in my head the whole time and being like, and that was awful. And so I needed to get out of that. And that was, at that point it was actually probably more thinking about a financial, but also just these.
Like, how does this reflect on me as a person?
Yeah, like yeah. Rabbit holes of various things. I didn't want to ask anyone for help. I just wanted to just wanted to be gone. I don't know. I wanted my old life. I wanted something different. Something had to change. I knew.
What would be the advice? One, how did you get through that? I first 6 months of this year have been hell for me as well. I'm doing the same thing. Waking up at 2 o'clock. Am I going to go bankrupt? You know, is this going to go through? Am I going to have to tell all these investors? I'm going to have to tell all these employees, friends, family, what am I going to do next? Like, I was just there a few months ago. So I get it. And I went through a lot to try to resolve that, but I'd love to hear like what worked for you in resolving that and what actionable tips do you have for anybody else?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the first tip I have for a business owner is that it's actually pretty easy to get into a business and we sometimes don't think about how we could get out. Right. Oftentimes it's you're thinking, I'm just going to sell the business to someone, but that doesn't always happen. So I think, you know, knowing that up front and thinking about it is helpful. Most people won't take that advice though, because it's actually, you know, you just never know, but it is something to, as you're going through, to sort of to think about. I just had to be okay with quitting. It takes a long time to sort of, I think we sold part of the business. I had to shut down part of another. It was kind of a slow death, but sort of okay, we're going to start making these types of decisions, knowing that, you know, at some point we're going to have to close up shop. And then in amongst that, I actually got a new old job. I ended up finding something else that I needed to have positive momentum in, which was, you know, getting employment, getting actual cash flow in for me. And as well, just sort of that plan and executing on that plan. And, you know, I think actually the best advice is to start talking to people about it, which is why I now openly do. You know, a lot of people will have failures like this and they don't talk about it. They don't mention it. They're terrified to mention it on a podcast. And I think there's a little bit of this. Well, I think we need to. One, we can learn
like
more from them than successes.
Well, go under 80% of it. But where are those guys talking?
Yeah. You know? It's hard. It's hard to find
where
them.
Where are they at?
And so
then you start failing and you're just like, am I the only one? Yeah. And you're like, wait, no. FedEx almost went out of business and he had to gamble his last $6,000 to make payroll. And Walmart almost went out of business and Nike and all of that, you know, but nobody is really up for. So one, I appreciate that. Is the slow closure. was there a time in that slow closure before you got the new job and the income? Because I know that that makes such a big difference in your life, and just positivity on focusing on something that's actually progressing rather than something that's dying.
Well, I think what you're saying is, yeah, like how did that help? You have to find these moments. You have to find these things that are positive, that are yeah. things. I remember this one. So I didn't ever ask my parents for money, but my mom knew sort of what was going on. And every time I'd see her, she'd have like $200 in her pocket and she'd give it to me. Very secretly. She didn't want my dad to see. And
yeah.
And it was sort of this, like, I don't know, this, I believe in you.
Yeah, I got thing, you.
Right?
Yeah.
She would just do, and it, you know, just like, don't worry, we're always here for you, whatever. You need that. I don't know. I don't know how to find that, but you need to be able to find those moments or that, like, that support around you. You do these things where you're like, well, what is important and what, you know, what do you value and where should I be focusing? Now, I kept saying that to myself and I still kept waking up at 3 a.m. So it only, you know, you really just got to keep at it and just keep telling yourself. And over time it got better because I felt like I was working my way out of it slowly and had a plan. You kind of, you know, you do need a plan, even though it's a bad plan in the sense that it you know, is leading you to something that you characterize as failure or not sort of more money. And so that was what I had to come to grips with.
I like the phrase that you use, you know, that you characterize as a failure, because it is something, it doesn't have to be a failure. And you've mentioned at least 5 times in the last 15 minutes about learning experiences. And it's like, well, if I'm learning something, I'm satisfied when I'm learning. And anyways, I do remember the question. I was wanting to dive in a little bit deeper into the kind of answer to it, still waking up at 2-3 a.m. You know, if it's a several month long process, was there a time that you were still in the depth of it without that, I guess, side out or the next job, that you were able to have less stress, not wake up every night? I mean, I think I went through that for like 4 or 5 months until I actually started Googling what bankruptcy was and right. what the steps are and like actually getting clarity on what that was. Then I was able to, like, okay, I was setting up that plan. Even though I never went through that plan, I had to know that plan in order for me to kind of get out of that rut. But I was in it for months, just not sleeping.
You know what the problem is? Is that you hear the stories like that of the Nike story and the FedEx, and you think that that's you, because you're like, well, this is what I have to go through.
I mean, I had a buddy that said something about, he's like, yeah, well, I was going through some hard times. And he's like, and I know my friends wouldn't bail me out because they needed me to go through the depths. I'm like, no, nobody wants you to go through that, dude.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to go through it, you go through it. But like, that's not like, I mean, people do wear it with a badge and honor because there is a lot of learning experience, and that's totally fine. But it's, I think the hustle culture is a little bit too strong. I stopped working 80 hours a week and I just went down to 40 for the last 3 years with Dirty Dough, and I've had way more success ever. But still outwardly, it's like, no, you got to do more. You got to do more. You got to work the weekends. And I'm just like, for yeah. what though? For what? To be yeah. with my family? I'm like, I'm just with my family right now. Right. So maybe that's a good transition, because I do want to talk to you about your kids and your family. Particularly you talked about like the experience of, you kind of have to obtain some sort of success or wealth to then realize its emptiness. Does that make sense? And is there any truth to that?
So what is emptiness? Like the feeling of it?
Like it's not a lasting satisfaction. I'm going to work to death till my company has $1 million in revenue, and you do it and you feel great. And then you're just like, crap, now I need to change my goals to learning and fulfillment and joy and all of those other things that typically people with success after a handful of years of success do.
Part of it is who you look up to and who you resonate with. One of these funny things that I always think about is how simple the advice is from all these incredibly smart people when they give it. They're like, you know, you're like, oh, this is gonna be a great interview with Warren Buffett. He's gonna give me all the dirt. I'm gonna be the greatest investor after I listen to him for a little bit here. And then he basically says, like, just find a good company with management that you like and a business you understand and invest in it. And like, he says, he might dress that up a bit, but he says the same thing again and again. You're like, it can't be that simple. I think it is that simple. I think most of this is that simple. And it's like everyone has all the same advice, right? It's actually very common that it has. And part of it, like, I grew up in this, like, family is most important. There's this concept around when you have kids, you've had 18 summers because then they go whatever. I think now it's actually probably more like 25 or 30 summers because the kids never leave. But, you know, you only have so much time with your kids. And for me, that was actually always very important. What was interesting was I actually got into entrepreneurship because I thought that I would have more time. Like I thought that was the answer to it. I would create these systems and
you're your own boss, right?
And passive income and whatever, and that would be what it was. And so, I think I just that was the learning that I had to kind of go through. So I don't know. It's you listen and you hear all this advice, and then you have a take on it, and you go do your life based on your take on it, and then you realize the hard way whether it was you know good or not. But absolutely, I don't get a lot of I'm not a car guy. I don't want a big house. It's more to clean and more to fit. I'm very much like a simple and I think it's easy to want a big house. I think it's easy to want a nicer car because you can it's very tangible. It's you can drive your success there if you want and be able to measure it. But it's actually harder to say like I want a better relationship with my kids or I want to spend more time. Like it's actually hard to be 100% present with your child and genuinely just enjoy the moment with them. I struggle with it still. And I think that that's like that is actually something that you should be striving for. But we don't because it's too hard.
I would say that most people in the world have never had more than even 5 seconds of like true presence. And I'm going to get into it a little bit just to get your thoughts on it. When you're thinking, even if I'm thinking this is a great podcast a great conversation that I'm having with Greg. Well, that was in the past, right? Even if it's, well, Greg looks great right now. By the time I'm seeing you taking it in and thinking it, now it's already in the past or again, in the future, your thoughts can't be in the present. If that's true, how many of us can shut off our minds and actually shut off the brain so you can perceive what's around you and be truly present? Almost nobody for more than a few seconds. So you saying it's hard, I'm going to agree with you and say it's probably impossible for not impossible, but it's probably very, very, very hard. And most people never even realize it because they don't even know what the definition of presence is. I still don't know if I do. I'm diving in deep to it, but anyways, love to hear thoughts on what is presence and how do you get there? I'm measuring it based off of thoughts, but I'm sure there's other ways to measure it.
It's something around stopping and to smell the roses. Like I actually think that's what you're getting at, but it's also very hard. Right. But I think what happens is our mind is always fixed. And you'll notice this with a business. You have, 40 franchises. You're like, your mind is like, well, how do I get to 50 and how do I get to 60? So we're doing that even when we're sitting playing with our kid, because we're like, well, I made the time. I successfully pushed off work or I blocked my calendar off for this hour to spend with my kid. But then your mind goes and says, all right, well, I'm obviously playing with the kid. I'm here. So I'm going to start thinking about the next thing in my head while I'm doing that. I think it's a, I don't know. I think you actually have to just try really hard. Like, I think you have to be incredibly conscious of the fact that you need to sit there and enjoy that person in the moment to do it, because you'll only have so many of them because that, you know, those moments are only there. But then people tend to, so then what we do though, is we go and we take pictures of it. And then we're like, well, then I take this picture, I'm going to post it on social media. Then I'm going to do that. And you kind of, I think we understand that we need to be there and present in the moment, but we construe it in all these different funny ways. And I think you're right that it's actually very, very challenging to do that and to actually be in the moment. We want to then capture the moment. We want to we want to do all these things so that we never forget it because it was so good if that's the case. And like,
and you're and losing it to then pursue preserve it later. No,
just I'm give it up. Just enjoy it. Like, I don't know. It's too easy. That advice is too easy. Like, you've said a complicated thing. It's actually really easy. It's just, that's really hard.
Yeah. The concept. For me, it was, presence, presence, presence. And then I got into it and it's like, well, no, if you really want to know if you're present or not, look at your thoughts. Because if your thoughts are thinking about your business, you're not present, right? So what's the, I guess, my brain always goes to the end. Okay, well, what's the extreme version? Okay, no mind. No mind Buddhist meditation. And that is, conceptually, it's very easy, but just try it. Just try it for 10 seconds. See if you cannot have a thought for 10 seconds. So hard to shut off the brain. And the brain is the number one thing that causes us grief and suffering, right? It is. It's those thoughts. So, and then it's like, okay, well, imagine having a life with no worries. That's what we all want. And then how do you get that? Well, I need to go get $1 billion and get a maid and get a blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, all you need to do is be present. And you don't have the worries, right? Because at least from 4 o'clock, maybe you're worrying during the day and solving the problems, but if you're able to actually be present afterwards, you can get rid of those worries 100%. How old are your kids, Greg?
5 and 8.
Okay, I have a 5 and 7. So that's cool.
Right there.
What, and they're still super young, so I don't know if you've thought much about this, but do you have any pieces of career advice for them as far as, especially on the topic of fulfillment, satisfaction, and all of that?
I think it's too hard to do that at this stage. My parents were incredibly hands off. They almost didn't have an opinion, and they were of what I should do with anything, like even university, career, whatever. They just supported me. I liked that. I think they did it
Me
well.
too.
I don't have much else. Like I don't. I'm just like, find something you do. Now, kids sometimes these days end up be like, you know what? I'm just gonna go travel for a long time. And I think I, at some point you have to push them a little bit to say like, well, but you need some money. And so I think I'm big on not spoiling them and teaching them the value of money early. And I think I will, I'll focus and make sure I do that just so that they understand that they sort of need to. But certainly my objective in life is not to make a lot of money to give it to them so that they don't have to work or they don't have to think that through. I think it's quite the opposite. It's a I think I'm doing them more of a favor by honestly just providing a little bit of advice, but then having them go out there, see what I've done, see what other people have done, and make their own mistakes and make their own choices. So
How cool that your parents didn't have the opinion, because you're thinking, you're like, wait, what? No, you can have no opinion. I mean, that's unconditional love, right? It's I don't care what you do. I'm just here for you. I'm just here to
yeah.
support you. So that's awesome that you got that and you're giving that to your kids. Anything else as far as raising kids and being a busy entrepreneur, thoughts or advice to others? Because that's always, we all want to be with our kids. We're all building businesses for our families, but yet a lot of times we miss all of the soccer games and graduations and Halloween dances because of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually right now in a zone where I'm not trying to be the best professional, like be the best worker right now. I'm just given the age of my children, I have a lot of ideas. I write them down. I'm an entrepreneurial person by nature. I come up with all these ideas. I should do this business and that business, whatever. I'm just venting that way by writing them down. I think it's honestly just not taking too much on. Our minds just tend to want to do that. And I think, I focused on trying to find the time with them. I've always been like that though. Like I've always thought about, spent a lot of time thinking about that. Again, coming from that really simple advice that so many people have, it got down to, say in the instance where I did work super hard and I had a lot of money, what would I want to buy? I'd probably want to buy more time with my kids.
Yeah,
So
I love that. And then you're like,
I've
cool, I already have
shortcut.
it. Here's the shortcut. I have it. Greg, last question for you. Do you have a life philosophy that helps you have more joy and fulfillment?
I think it's built around me just trying to make sure I understand what drives me. Like what so if I'm happy to almost stepping out of myself and then looking at what made me happy. And then likewise, if I'm sad or angry or whatever, looking at myself and doing that. So I think I'm just good at that. I put a focus on it, and I think it's just a gift that I've sort of stumbled upon that and can do that because it then allows me to put myself into some happiness sort of things. But I would leave people with that idea that it's incredibly simple. I mean, my I have a new philosophy that I have called that I'm work shop working right workshopping right now called the Seinfeld theory of happiness and fulfillment. And it's basically that, the call it ultimate goal in life is to be in a situation where you have three amazing friends and all you want to do is go to the coffee shop day in, day out and just sit with them and laugh. And that sounds so simple, but I actually think it's the hardest thing in the world to do. And if we can get there, I think in the end, like that is probably my goal. I don't know how to get there. I don't have that. It's not, and be present in that time and be present, like, and just actually be, I don't want any more of this. I just want to sit here and laugh. I think that is probably the hardest thing to do. And that would be my like outside projection. And I think if you head towards that and try to find it, if you can find it, then I think that you've had everything.
I've never heard that. And I don't want to call to attention that typically what happens that I've seen, I'm not doing well, so I'm looking at what's going on around with my business, what's my relationship with my wife. I'm looking at all these other things. If I'm happy, I'm doing the same thing. Well, I'm happy because I'm making good money or I'm going on a vacation. It's all outwardly. But then it sets you up for failure because like, wait, if I want to be happy again, does that mean I have to go on another vacation? And what you said is it's all inward, whether it's happy, sad, angry, whatever, it's how, what's going on within side of me, because you can control that. So I love that answer. And I couldn't agree with that life philosophy more of, it comes down to everything between your two ears. That's what controls your whole perspective of life, sure, all of your hormones and your happiness and all of that. So love that. Greg, where can our listeners connect with you?
So LinkedIn is kind of the only place I'm at, but my name is Greg Martin, which is reasonably hard to find. But if you go and look either at lifetimeatwork.com, which is my podcast, or Greg Martin and Lifetime at Work, you'll find me pretty easily. So yeah, that's the best way.
Hey, and we'll include those links in the show notes. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me.